Welcome back. It's a Thursday, the third day of November 2022. I'm your host, Mark Hall, and there are so many ways we could start off our look at the news today. The Federal Reserve, right on schedule, took another shot at the heart of the U.S. and world economy. Hey, the dollar isn't dead yet, but when they're done, it will be. And so will most of America. The Biden-Fuhrer sock puppet was directed to go to the teleprompter and read a little bit more from Adolf's playbook. Even the leftist Daily Mail's coverage admits it's caused a bit of a fury. It was called divisive, tyrannical, and even patronizing. We'll come back to that in a second, too. North Korea's fired yet another missile, sparking more terror in Japan. And a so-called judge in Arizona has actually come out and issued an injunction against those who want to try to prevent voter fraud and said, no, you're not allowed to take pictures of people maybe doing illegal things in drop boxes. After all, we got an election to steal. And it's intimidating to have people watch us committing voter fraud. But when it comes to a story that, yeah, really, like all of these others, encapsulates just how far gone down the toilet bowl America is. And by the way, folks, if you think that it's even remotely too harsh, remember what every alcoholic who's ever sought treatment understands. The first step is admitting you've got a really bad problem. And that's without doubt more than true, so I'm going to start here. Because, like a bad penny, this story just seems to keep cropping up. And every time it does, it seems to get more and more emblematic of what's really wrong with a nation that's forgotten so much of what people were once fighting and dying for. Courtesy of the Gateway Pundit, the woke agenda being pushed by the globalists and virulent socialists in the military obviously isn't good for recruiting goals. Earlier this year, so-called leaders in the military, which are trying to destroy it from within anyway, announced they would be lowering their recruiting goal for the Army from 476,000 to about 466,000. And despite the lowered goal, and of course lowered bar too, the U.S. Army is still reporting it'll miss recruiting goals for the year by about 15,000 soldiers, or 25% of their original goal. Obviously, the fact that they want to force people to take an injection which does nothing except destroy their health, their fertility, and their futures probably isn't good for recruiting goals. But maybe the woke military atmosphere and the fact that they're no longer even making a pretense of defending the country has something to do with it as well. As TGP notes, increasingly, trans soldiers are given special privileges, while Christian soldiers are persecuted and driven right out of this man's army. Uh-oh, you can't say that anymore, can you? This trans army comes closer, but still may not be quite PC enough the way they're headed. And let's not forget, bases are hosting drag shows instead of training soldiers to do what they're supposed to, and military leaders seem to have been replaced by embedded saboteurs. And here's the latest development on this front. In an effort to ameliorate the recruiting shortages that negatively impact America's national security, well, not as much as the so-called leadership does, here is a piece, as much as your host could stand, of a new military recruitment ad that is supposed to speak to middle America. And what it speaks to is how out of touch they are with the Constitution, the rule of law, the purpose of a military defense, and I emphasize that force, and of course, middle America too. And as the story notes, even Twitter users weren't impressed. You remember one of the early incursions by the left into public school libraries called Heather Has Two Mommies? Well, it seems so does Emma. And this ad is called Emma the Calling. And what else, folks? It's a cartoon, kind of like the Army itself.
This is the story of a soldier who operates your nation's Patriot missile defense systems. It begins in California, with a little girl raised by two moms. Although I had a fairly typical childhood, took ballet, played violin, I also marched for equality. I like to think I've been defending freedom from an early age.
That's why I'm the perfect poster girl for an army and an entire military that no longer seems to know what that even means. And one other thing. Emma may be really politically correct. I don't know whether she's competent at manning a Patriot missile battery or not, but I guarantee you she's not doing anything with it to defend the U.S. border. Okay, from there back to the other stories of a nation under fire and losing badly, starting with the unconstitutional Federal Reserve, where the Open Market Committee met the other day and decided, hey, guess what? We're not done yet. Even though it won't really make any difference with the hyperinflation that's already baked into the cake, we're going to raise interest rates another 0.75%, which arguably really didn't surprise anybody. But it was the incompetence, or was it, with which it was accomplished that really raised some eyebrows. Here's one headline from late yesterday afternoon. Powell pulls the rug out after a euphoric Fed statement and the reaction, and result, terminal rate spikes. Another one, just a few hours later, from Zero Hedge, the same source, said, what happened will, quote, live in the annals of market infamy as the day the Fed rug-pulled the market, when first a very dovish statement sparked a frenzied buying spree, only to be followed by a blistering, hawkish assault on the bulls during Powell's press conference, leading to risk freefall and the worst final 90 minutes of a Fed day in history, according to Bespoke. In the EOD wrap, Goldman trader John Flood agrees that today was a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde kind of day when the Fed statement, ostensibly written by the dovish Lael Brainard, sparked a risk-on buying frenzy, only to then crater when Powell said it was not only premature to think about pausing rates, the oh-so-vaunted pivot, saying it was very premature to even think about pausing rate hikes. But he also said that, quote, incoming data since our last meeting suggests that the ultimate level of interest rates will be higher than previously expected. Uh-oh! And as Zero Hedge notes, as the selling accelerated, all the support levels were taken out. Even the S&P 50-day moving average at 3022 didn't provide any support. The Dow broke below its 200-day moving average, and as Zero Hedge notes, NASDAQ and small caps puked over 3%. After initially being up 1% right after the first FOMC statement, while the S&P ended up being down over 2%. At this point, we'll take a brief look at the Daily Mail, which seems to want to emphasize the what's in it for the common man. On Wednesday, America's unconstitutional central bank, they didn't put that word in there, as you can imagine, bumped interest rates from 3.25% to 4%, its fourth 3/4% hike in 5 months, and the biggest rate hike in 28 years. And they ain't done yet. This, they say, is what the Fed's interest rate hike means for you. Average mortgage payments will spike by more than $200 per month. Buying a car or carrying a credit card balance will also hit you in the pocket, or somewhere anyway. Although, oh, and here's the exciting news, folks. Savings accounts could offer returns of 2.4%. Why, that's almost a tiny fraction of what inflation is going to cost you while you're waiting for those checks to come in. And on this score, even the Daily Mail admits that while interest rates on savings might see that small increase, it'll do little to relieve consumers amid the rising, matter of fact, exploding cost of living, which remains high. And here they quote 8.2%, the official number, which is only a fraction of the real number. As anybody who's been to a grocery store or tried to buy, well, diesel fuel lately, just wait till it's not available at all, already knows. At this point, let's put in that eyebrow raiser out of Arizona, where a federal judge, sick, has put the brakes on various tactics used by self-described mule watchers, who actually think that if they're vigilant, the dark forces that have taken over Washington might not be able to get away with what they've got planned. Anyway, they've been surveilling ballot boxes by taking photos and videos and posting information online. Often, and I would suggest they'd be fools if they didn't, while wearing body armor and making sure that they're properly armed. The group called Clean Elections USA said it wants to prevent voter fraud by staking out ballot boxes to catch what we've seen so many times in the past and was so well documented by Dinesh D'Souza in his movie 2000 Mules. In a lawsuit against those mule watchers, named after the film, which demonstrated evidence of systemic election fraud, the defenders of the rig said that the actions of those election integrity groups amount to, quote, time-tested methods of voter intimidation, unquote. And isn't that funny, folks? That's their job, especially if you dare to question what they've done after the fact. They'll intimidate you into silence, and if that doesn't work, right into a gulag. Judge Michael T. Liberti issued a temporary restraining order prohibiting the mule watchers and any other persons, quote, in active concert or participation with them from taking photos or videos of anybody at those boxes or spreading information about the so-called voters or mules, if you prefer, online, as well as making false statements about the state's statutes regarding early voting. Yeah, said this scumbag, it's imperative we balance the defendant's right to engage in First Amendment-protected activity, which basically amounts to zero nowadays, with the plaintiff's right to act, he doesn't say vote, he says act, and we know what those acts often include, don't we, without intimidation or harassment. You want to stuff those ballot drop boxes? Well, make sure nobody is paying any attention, much less videoing what you're doing. Get to it. And remember, folks, prior to the rigged 2020 election, this wasn't even an issue. By the way, the story notes that in a parallel case against something called Clean Elections USA, the judge declined to enjoin them, saying he hadn't seen any real evidence that any real harm had befallen any voters. I guess real or illegal. Unless you count those who have suffered from the failure of recent elections, to be honest. A lawyer for Clean Elections USA and other defendants, Alexander Kolodin, said he would most likely appeal the ruling, arguing that restrictions on things like photography or online posting or even discussing Arizona voting laws infringed on free speech. Gee, do you think? Does it really even matter anymore, folks? Saying that, quote, our clients are on trial for the entire state or anybody who wants to participate in ballot box monitoring or even share their views. From there, on we go to the latest sock puppet escapades. Biden is a tyrant, says another headline. I like this one from the Daily Mail. Furious Republicans say that the, I'm not going to use the word president in the same sentence with Biden, folks, but the guy who's masquerading as such anyway, his patronizing speech saying democracy is not the rule of monarchs and the midterms are a battle with MAGA's dark forces won't divide Americans and distract from his dire record. Did you get all that? Yep. Biden's channeling of Adolf on Wednesday night was another bid to divide and distract Americans. That much is always obvious. He is a tyrant, tweeted Congressman Andy Biggs after the remarks at the rundown cesspool of Union Station and the District of Criminals. You know, once they cleaned up for long, Kevin McCarthy said the speech was proof he, quote, can't talk about his policies that have driven up the cost of living. Duh. And Biden's handlers even went so far as to try to get him to tie the hammer attack, or so we're told, on Paul Pelosi to Trump and his refusal to accept the rigging of the 2020 presidential election. And your host can't help but observe that as they prepare to rig the next one, not even hiding it at this point, it's getting more and more obvious to more and more Americans what really did happen 2 years ago. But really, folks, if there's a line that absolutely says, thou art a fascist hypocrite, it's this one. When the Biden Fuhrer said, and listen carefully, we the people must decide whether the rule of law will prevail. Yeah, that's pretty clear, isn't it? Or whether we will allow the dark forces and thirst for power put ahead of the principles that have long guided us, unquote. And the dark forces and thirst for power are the principles that have long guided this regime. And he also seemed to make it really clear, I guess hearkening back to those people that have been rotting in the federal dungeon since the January 6th pogrom, that if you have any doubts whatsoever about the, safety and efficacy, oh no, that was something else, the veracity of this upcoming rigged election, the only real question at this point is, what will they be able to get away with? You are an enemy of democracy. What do you know what we will do with you? Here's a cute, quick follow-up on the Biden Fuhrer story. Somebody writing for the Senile One from @WhiteHouse tweeted that, quote, seniors are getting the biggest increase in their Social Security checks in 10 years through the make-believe president's leadership. And we gotta put sick after that. Context checkers leaped on that one, saying that's because inflation is the highest it's been in many decades. White House response? Delete the tweet. And as Spike Cohen put it, welcome to Elon Musk's Twitter. And for his part, Elon Musk added, the system is working. Now, while we're on the subject, I guess this fits. Another piece from Zero Hedge says, according to Bloomberg, the world's richest man intends to eliminate 3,700 jobs at Twitter on Friday, roughly half of the company's entire workforce, in a bid to drive down costs and hopefully drive up something resembling honesty following his $44 billion acquisition. Musk will inform staffers that are affected on Friday, said Bloomberg sources. And the fallout here is kind of interesting, folks. What with the oh-so-liberal and oh-so-tolerant left putting Musk under financial deplatforming squeeze pressure as various woke advertisers are pressured by vocal ultra-left socialist radicals to drop Twitter unless and until the socialist, hopefully soon, just social media company, is fully MSNBC'd, Musk himself tweeted that advertisers instead should support freedom of speech rather than political correctness. And all of that will leave advertisers showing their ads to a handful, says Tyler Durden for Zero Hedge, of socialist pre-approved media outlets catering to those whose entire income comes from Big Brother, who pays zero taxes and who can't really afford to buy anything. As a result, Musk is under pressure to find ways to slash costs for a business for which he clearly overpaid. Jim Kunstler, guy that I've really enjoyed reading for quite a while now, has another interesting piece up where he actually says what they refer to as the quiet part out loud on the Burning platform. He calls it a walk on the wild side and asks this question. Do you doubt any more that the USA, indeed most of Western civ, is in fact in the grip of demonic possession? You can't quite medicalize a problem by calling it a group psychosis because the people demolishing social boundaries know exactly what they're doing, and they are, as your host likes to put it, but so does he, shoving it in your face maliciously for the purpose of goading you into humiliation and punishment, which is predictably what will happen if you object to being, oops, I guess I'm going to have to bleep this one, mind-fucked. Case in point, and I'm not going to belabor this one, if you've seen the disgusting photos, you already know what he's going to talk about. A shop teacher styling himself the transgendered Kayla Lemieux comes to work sick in a school sick in the Halton School District of Ontario, Canada, dressed as a grotesquely over-endowed female, no longer seems to cut it, with beach ball-sized fake breasts. And all of this is supported by the woke Marxist Justin Castro Trudeau, who's already made it clear they intend to crush you, bankrupt you, and destroy you if you don't play along. Who knew, he asked poignantly, that the once glorious George Jetson-style future would dip into a neo-medieval religious frenzy, and, more to the point, one deriving its dark energy from the demonic and outright satanic. You're asked to swallow ever greater absurdities, destroying your self-respect, because you know you're a coward for not standing up to this host of degenerates. Yeah, he goes on to talk next about the traitorous open invasion from the south, where literally millions, many of them already identified as international terrorists, cross the border with a welcome mat from the traitor-in-chief, while that feral band of infidels tries to brand those who object to it as domestic white terrorist extremists. After which, the hypocrisy of the far nutcase left and Martha's Vineyard, where the uber-rich meet to party and pontificate and ultimately expose their hypocrisy, got caught this week wearing the emperor's new clothes. And yeah, it's tough to forget what we've seen. But this is where Kunstler is Kunstler. He puts it this way. What's the answer when faced with a large-scale religious disturbance in society, especially when displaying all the earmarks of overt, archetypal evil? Well, you call in an exorcist. That had been Donald J. Trump's true role in this latest mega-crisis for the millennia. He's seeking to cast out evil spirits afflicting this sore-beset national community, and those evil spirits are frantic to stop his ministrations by any means necessary. He is, of course, notes Kunstler, a most untoward avatar in this war of good against evil. After all, he came out of the infernal circle of New York real estate development. The assumption all along was that he must be tainted by dirty dealing with the mobs who run the construction unions and the government there. But after 6 years of relentless investigation, sick, by the Southern District of New York and the Manhattan DA's office, the Legions of Hell came up with, well, nothing. How's that possible, you must ask? Well, they tried their darndest, and now they're trying again with some double jeopardy maneuvers. The law, though, to these degenerates is just an instrument of their own evil will to power. Well, he goes on to say Mr. Trump may or may not be the nominee in 2024, but at least in the meanwhile, he seems to be helping the country with a literal house cleaning in advance of that that might open the door for a deluge of corrective truth-telling about what's gone on over the past several years. Well, on that score, folks, we'll see. But Kunstler does conclude by saying Americans, except for the very old, are not disposed to attending church, meaning they're not reminded at regular intervals that good and evil exist in all of us and that we have a sacred duty to fight it. Ultimately, he believes the left will choke to death on its many crimes, and hopefully we can return to being a people who confidently know the difference between right and wrong. Kelly Nielsen wrote an excellent piece for News with Views the other day that pretty well outlined a history of what she called, correctly, Anthony Fauci's sociopathic murder of the masses. It begins with a bunch of quotes from people having to do with things like tyranny and the failure to fight it. One of them from Robert F. Kennedy Jr., the chairman of Children's Health Defense, says, "The mainstream media and social media giants are imposing a totalitarian censorship to prevent public health advocates, like myself, from voicing concerns and from engaging in civil informed debate in the public square." She quotes Potter Stewart, dissenting to Ginsburg v. United States, saying, "Censorship reflects a society's lack of confidence in itself. It's a hallmark of an authoritarian regime." And, of course, there's Elie Wiesel, Holocaust survivor, who wrote, "Indifference and the silence of people led to the Holocaust. To remain silent and indifferent is the greatest sin of all." She begins by quoting Charlotte Isherby's 1999 book called The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America, which exposed the truth about communism and the unelected powers who now rule over a once-free United States, essentially demonstrating the, quote, unelected governance in the United States, consisting of unelected councils, task forces, and so-called participatory democracy, public-private partnerships, and etc., all of which is the form of government now used in democratic, socialist, and communist countries. Throughout the country, from federal agencies down to local, city, and county boards, all of the decisions regarding COVID-19 were made by unelected heads of agencies, which affected every American. Those choices were followed by state governors, governors, city and county mayors, heads of police and fire departments, hospital administrators, and so on, all of which loved their totalitarian control. And then the mandates. Oh, yeah, got to get your clot shots. Except, of course, for those that Biden himself deemed exempt. The Food and Drug Administration, well, that's not what it really is, folks. It's the Federal Death Agency, but we all know who we're talking about, is a drug regulatory, drug safety watchdog agency, or at least she says that's what it's supposed to be. Still, the FDA doesn't tell doctors how to treat patients. The National Institutes of Health, SICK, NIH, is a government-funded research organization. The NIH doesn't tell doctors how to treat patients. The Centers for Death and Control, yeah, the CDC, is an infectious and chronic disease epidemiologic and analytic organization, or so it's supposed to be. But still, the CDC doesn't tell doctors how to treat patients. They did try to tell a lot of landlords what they couldn't do with their own property. And she says a lot of these quasi-governmental agencies that people think are governmental are actually just front groups for Big Pharma, the pharmaceutical industry. And not one of these federal agency leaders was elected. Not one of them ever treated a COVID-19 patient. And yet every one of them told America what we could and could not do, and then destroyed the ability of physicians to properly treat patients other than with their deadly approved protocols. When hospitals follow those protocols, they collected buku taxpayer dollars, and she's got a table listing every single state and how many tens of thousands they got for each COVID patient, especially if they died. That's when they got the highest payments. You could call that a death bonus. Think remdesivir and ventilators, of course. Nelson reminds us that the PCR tests were not valid tests for COVID, and the Nobel Prize inventor thereof, Kerry Mullis, told us that it was being improperly used and would, and in fact it did, give far too many false positives. But hey, folks, that was the intent. If you realize the real goal was to engender panic and get people to sign up like lemmings for the death injection that was to follow. Mullis knew that Tony Fauci was dangerous and said that he spent $22 billion and killed 100,000 people with his fraudulent AIDS drugs, which gave him a great resume for what followed. The gain of function research, and he got to be the power broker that controlled the funding for everything associated with research and the cover-up of any actual data, too. He turned out to be the perfect guy to spearhead these Zyklon B injections. But we shouldn't look to other unelected parties to tell us what to do either, writes Nielsen, and that includes our local health departments who advocated mandates that are destructive not only to children but to all citizens. And the latest is the euphemistically named Congressional Bill H.R. 550, Immunization Infrastructure Modernization Act of 2021, which paves the way for state and local health departments, as well as public and private so-called health care providers, to share personal health data with Big Brother and every little bit of the three-letter agencies of the federal government. The bill has hundreds of millions of taxpayer dollars allocated to the tracking system's success. Think Mark of the Beast, if you're so inclined. The Wentworth Report states that in, quote, 2000, Fauci, who Dr. Joseph Mercola calls a sociopathic bureaucrat, met with Bill Gates, who asked to partner with the NIH in an agreement to vaccinate the entire population of the world with a battery of new vaccines. In 2009, this agreement was rebranded as the Decade of Vaccines, the objective of which was to implement mandatory vaccinations for every adult and child on the planet by the year 2020. And they provide a link. Gates calls what he does philanthropy capitalism. What a disgusting misnomer. The idea that you can use philanthropy to make money. Oh, yeah, literally print it, folks, and extort it, too. He had a foundation where he has sheltered $50 billion in tax-free money. He continues to have absolute control over it. He uses that money to gain control of public health agencies in our country and, of course, who? The World Health Organizations. Like your host, he goes on to advocate that all of us read RFK Jr.'s excellent work, The Real Anthony Fauci, and now there's even a movie based on the book. We are, concludes the author, at a catastrophic junction in human history. Today's predators have unleashed an injectable biological weapon designed to deliver a poisonous spike protein payload and stealth state surveillance technology into the body. This weapon enables its predators to control the global population remotely 24 hours a day, and we must choose whether to disobey and assert our freedom and our rights as human beings or to be enslaved. Your host puts it this way, folks. The scriptures tell us, come out of her, my people, touch not the unclean thing, and for crying out loud, don't let it be injected into you, and make darn sure you know who you serve. Don't be deceived, and may Yahuwah bless you and yours.